Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.
Many people will never encounter the rare disease PKU in their lifetime, with about 1 in 4,500 babies born in Ireland having the disease. But for those it affects, it is a constant presence in their lives. Now, one family from Two Mile Burrs, James Shaw and Aoife Murphy, have faced challenges and changes as they adapted to their baby's PKU diagnosis. And I'm delighted to say that Aoife joins me now. Aoife, good morning to you.
Morning, Fran.
Thank you so much for coming on with us today, because you must have a very busy house indeed. Will you tell me about your son, Irla? He was born last year, wasn't he?
He was born in August, Fran, on the 4th of August. He is the light of our lives, no doubt. And just a couple of 24 hours later, we had this news of a diagnosis that we totally did not expect.
Now, it was the normal heel prick that took place, and that's what gave the diagnosis. Is that correct, Aoife?
This is it, Fran, and I suppose in raising awareness, obviously there's only very few families in the country that will be affected by PKU, but every family is familiar with the process of the public health nurse coming into your home in those early days. A very reassuring visit, you know, the first time you've met a medical professional since you've left the hospital. And I distinctly remember the lovely lady said to me, Aoife, no news is good news on this. And famous last words, of course, Fran.
Famous last words, indeed. And just before we go on, PKU, can you give me the pronunciation, Aoife, because I was struggling with it.
Yes, 7 months in, I'm still struggling, Fran. So it's phenylketonuria.
Right, so
but PKU for short. It's easier for everyone to take that one.
It's a bit of a mouthful. How soon after the heel prick test, then, did you get a notice?
So it was about 12 hours later we received a phone call. And, you know, in this day and age, we're kind of reluctant to answer unknown numbers on our phone, but I did. And it was a doctor in Kilkenny Hospital where Irla was born, informing us that he gave me the name of the diagnosis and simply said, there is a bed in Thames Street waiting for you. But, you know, it was a juxtaposition then. He said, it's not a medical emergency. And of course, as a parent, your mind just starts spiralling at that stage, you know.
What were you told about PKU, or what did you understand about the condition, Aoife?
Absolutely nothing, Fran. I had never encountered it in my lifetime anyway. And on that call, it's a very tentative call. They don't tend to go into a lot of medical detail. So I suppose that's an hour that myself and James will never forget, because you're told not to rush and not to worry. It's not imminent. He was medically well at that time. But still in all, you just start reeling, Fran. You know, it's your whole world just starts closing in on you, to be honest.
And when you did find out more about it, what exactly is it?
Okay, so PKU is a rare genetic disease, and myself and James are both carriers of a defective gene. Now, I don't have a science background. I'm a solicitor, and James is a carpenter, so it took us a long time to get our heads around it as well. And unfortunately, myself and James passed on a defective gene to Irla, which means that he is operating with one defective gene, and his body cannot metabolize one of the amino acids in protein called phenylalanine, or PHE for short. So that means at the point that we received Irla's diagnosis, I was exclusively breastfeeding him. And my breast milk, the high protein content in that had already created a massive block in Irla's little system. And the PHE was building up and up and up and going back up potentially to his brain. So that's really what it is in a nutshell. But it's obviously quite complex and a lot to get our heads around.
Now, you were very lucky in some ways in that if you didn't get the diagnosis until later, it could have been catastrophic, I guess, Aoife.
This is the thing, and it's kind of a hard thing to grapple with in your own mind when you look at Irla, because he's a smiley, happy boy. He's so pleasant. He's so easy to look after. And you wouldn't think he's different to any other baby. But the reality of it is, Fran, it's a very stark reality, is that if his diagnosis wasn't picked up on the Heal Prick test, and I really want to emphasise the importance of this, along with the other diseases that are checked for on that test, by the time he was a couple of weeks old, there would have been some developmental delays. And certainly by the time he's at this age, 7 months now, there would have been an indication that he would have been intellectually disabled at this point. Irreversible, Fran.
My God. Am I right in thinking, though, with the proper nutrition, you can stave off the effects of PKU?
Yes. So essentially, Fran, and I suppose it's important to note, Irla was trialled on a drug in Temple Street when we went there for the 5 days that would enable his system to metabolise this fee. But unfortunately, he was so severe that it wasn't effective. So the sole treatment for Irla now is what we call dietary therapy, and a very, very strict dietary therapy. So I like to say to people, he cannot consume 85% of food. So Irla's diet consists of low-protein food sources, which is fruit and vegetables. He's still breastfeeding with me, so that's a source of natural protein. He has a quantified amount of natural protein as well from food sources that the dietitian directs me to every week. And also, for life, he will have to consume a synthetic protein that takes out that fee. So he needs that supplement to grow and heal and do all the things that we can do very naturally. And that's a very fine balance. I have to heal Brick and myself and James every week, send the blood to Temple Street, and his designated dietitian then rings us with a plan going forward for the 7 days.
So the spotlight is on Irla all of the time then, Aoife, and it's all consuming, I guess, is it?
It is, Fran, and I suppose, look, I've been really blessed with the support network that I have with my family, my friends, the community, the healthcare professionals here locally. Certainly Temple Street has a fantastic metabolic unit that leads up earless care. But, you know, it takes a lot of planning, organisation and thought to wrap your head around the diagnosis. And you're very conscious then as well that you want to be able to enjoy your baby too.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
You don't want to let it take over completely. But there is a lot of work to be done in terms of this and all other rare diseases, just to raise awareness. And that was my complete aim. When I started putting his story out there, was just, if one person could hear about it, then my job was done. I just wanted to raise a little bit of awareness for him, Fran.
And that wonderful story by Stephen Gleeson as well. He wrote up your story, of course, and for the Tipperary Star. And it makes for amazing reads. I mean, for instance, just to give people an idea about yourself and James having that recessive gene, mm-hmm. what are the chances of you both getting together, if you know what I mean?
Either. Yeah, so this is where we get into the genetics of it. And we just met a gene counsellor during the week who clarified it again for us. You have to keep going over these things in your head to understand them. So if in effect in our country, there's 1 in 50 people that are carriers of this defective gene, okay? There's a 1 in 2,500 chance that myself and James would have met and had it at Lirla. And then When we conceived Irla, there was a 25% chance he would have PKU, and a 50% chance he would be a carrier, and a 25% chance he would have a normal gene. So the mathematics of it and the genetics of it are set in stone. And that's very reassuring, Fran. Like, we know what we're dealing with here. And I can appreciate people that do have children that are sick. Sometimes they don't have the answers or the treatment options. And I'm very, very grateful that we do.
And neither yourself or James would have known that you were carrying this gene.
No, indeed, Fran, we wouldn't have. Now, if you know, the hindsight is a great thing, we had gone for genetic counselling prior to planning our family, then maybe that would have been brought to light. But, you know, often with families that, and mostly with families that get this diagnosis, they've absolutely no awareness. And in fact, an amazing thing is that they can have 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 children. And then, you know, the 6th child has the diagnosis. So it's a 1 in 25% chance every time, you know. So it's so interesting, Fran. You know, it really is. And
it's
amazing.
A listener with a very important question I should have asked you, Aoife. Was the pregnancy a healthy pregnancy?
Yes, thankfully. Thankfully it was. So, you know, I had all the regular symptoms and he was an emergency C-section as well, but mother and baby well. But then, you know, I was just home recovering from that and getting my head around all of that. And we were, our days of bringing our baby home, that little bubble was actually at Temple Street for those 5 days. And we did try and make it as special as we could while we were there. But yeah, not that it was robbed from us, Fran, that's very strong language. We were where we needed to be, but we didn't have that same beautiful kind of comfort bubble at home. We were on the road again with Leela.
One of the reasons that you're speaking to me and that you did the piece with Stephen as well is that, as you say, you want to get the story out there and I suppose more, make more people aware of this in some way, Aoife.
Yeah, it's so important, I think, and I'm so, so thrilled with the support I've gotten from the local community here in the province, between local businesses, my alma mater, Carla Starfield, my club, sports people, influencers, and even, you know, popping into the local shop and having a discussion about it. It's really opened it up. And I think having it in black and white for people made it very easy to understand. You know, it's very easy to talk to someone about this, but it has to be digested, Fran. So I think, for me, yes, it's just awareness. And it says it at the end of the article, it's quite cheesy. I said it's restored my faith in humanity. And that is a cheesy line to come out with, Fran. But really, outpouring of support and just kindness from everyone has been astounding. And we're so grateful as a family. Grateful, Fran.
I'm delighted to hear that for sure. But there's no reason now. I mean, while the commitment and the amount of time you'll have to put into this is huge, but there's no reason why Erla won't have a good life and, you know, a productive life and do all the things that a child would do. And
look, it's the amazing thing about modern medicine. This was first screened for on our Healdsburg test in 1966. And since then, dietary therapy has been the leading therapy for PKU. And, you know, any baby born post that time lives a perfectly, you know, in inverted commas, normal life. If they stick to the diet and they follow the advice of the medical profession, headed up by the metabolic team in in Temple Street, they will live a perfectly, you know, fulfilled life. And, you know, that's invaluable to us. That's all we needed to know. And that's what we do know now, Fran, thank God. And I have become involved with the PKU Association of Ireland, which does great advocacy work in relation to PKU. And as well, I said in the article too, Fran, the world becomes very small. So I'm actually in contact with parents globally and people with PKU themselves globally through social media that have provided me with fantastic support as well.
Listen, around to say, we have two children with PKU. I just want to let Aoife know it's difficult in the early days, but don't worry, it becomes your new normal.
That is amazing, Fran. And, you know, that echoes the advices I've gotten. Yeah. People, these parents are and families are so quick to reach out and provide reassurance and support to us, you know, complete strangers, but we're reunited with this diagnosis. And it just makes you feel less alone. And a lot of parents that I've met have said, you know, in those initial days, you feel so isolated. You've never heard of it. You don't know anyone, you know, that's been affected by it. But day by day, week by week, month by month, people start coming out of the woodwork and the support is phenomenal. And just the reassurance from other families and patients themselves, I can't describe how much that's put our minds at ease in the last couple of months.
Well, Aoife, thank you so much for sharing your story, and we wish Erla and James and yourself the very, very best going forward. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks, Fran. I know it's been a busy news day. Gurb Míle Maagat.
Gurb Míle Maagat, indeed. Thank you. That's Aoife Murphy speaking to us about her son, Erla, who was born last August and diagnosed with PKU. Patrick onto us as well to say that he has three family members with PKU. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? All right, we'll take a break back in just a moment.
Tip today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, Puck On. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.